Let's go. Welcome back to the podcast, Brian Pruitt. Live Elevate with Brian Pruitt. Today's video and podcast, we're talking about the seven mindset shifts that have transformed my life for the best. They've changed my life for the better. And the hope, the aim in making this, recording this, and posting it is for you to benefit from it. If you can just pick one of these mindset shifts to actually implement, focus on, and really spend some time and energy into, I believe that it'll change your life. I believe it'll have a 10x, 100x effect on your life. So with that said, let's jump into the seven mindset shifts. If you haven't already, on YouTube, I'll be posting these podcast episodes, visual podcasts. If you haven't, like, subscribe, follow the journey. I'm spending a lot of time and energy into long form content, like YouTube, like the podcast. So buckle up, lock in. Thanks for being you. Thanks for following the journey. So with that said, I shared these seven mindset shifts with the 15 men at the Live Elevated Summit. So incredible time together. And I think it was day two or three, we did these seven mindset shifts. And so I'll speak from my own personal experience on these, but I hope to also talk in a way that will help get you thinking about your own life, your own experience, helping you rewrite your own story, because they range from identity to overall life approach to your words and more. So with that said, let's jump into the first one. The first mindset shift that has changed everything for me in my life is the going from victim to victor. Going from victim to victor. I wrote down, everything starts with identity. If I can help you elevate your identity, I basically will change your life. You know, if I can help you see yourself in a more accurate, truthful, and empowered way, everything else takes care of itself. Like, that's the truth. And so I think it's very important to know who you are before you try to be and do. It's more important to know who you are than to try to do things to say, hey, I'm this person. Does that make sense? So for me, I look back on my life and there's definitely mistakes and choices that I've made that ultimately I let define me for far too long. Things I wish I could have done differently, or mistakes that I'm not proud of, embarrassed by, you name it. I mean, I think the main thing is the victim mindset. It's so easy to fall in there, but what it does is it limits us. It stunts our growth because we believe as a victim, if we fall into that false identity, we believe that we are what we do. We are what we've done. We are what people have done to us. You know, we are not defined by those things, though. We are not defined by our circumstances. We are not defined by what we've done, the mistakes we've made in the past. We're not defined by what people have done to us. We are ultimately defined by our creator, love. We're ultimately defined by what we're made of, not what we've done, our mistakes, what was done to us, etc. Does that make sense? So we're so much more than that, right? And I believe we're born to be overcomers. I believe we're born to be victors, heroes. We're more than overcomers, more than conquerors, it says in scripture, right? Because of the truth that we are what we're made of. We are made on purpose, made by God, and we are a victor in our story, not the victim. So moving from life is just happening to me to life is happening for me. What can I learn? How can I grow? What is this teaching me? That's the victim to victor transformation. That's the victim to victor shift, is stepping into, hey, I actually can control my life because I can control my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I am not what the world has done to me. The world says I am. I'm not who people think I am, who people say I am. I'm not limited by my mistakes. I'm not limited by my errors. I get to become, I get to step into that because I'm a victor. So that's mindset shift number one. Number two is scarcity to abundance. The mindset shift of scarcity to abundance. I wrote down that lack is an illusion. It's a man-made frame of mind. It's a man-made reality. The truth is abundance is ultimate reality. the truth is we do have everything we need, you know, in each moment. I think it's important to know that you have exactly what you need to have in this moment. And I think to live in an abundant state of mind is to live with this sense of knowing that what I want to see in my life, the fruit I want to see or the results I want to see in my life, that maybe not, they're not manifest right now and obvious, they're already mine. It's just going to take a little bit of time. So if I feel like they're mine and I live like they're mine, I know they're mine, I know that I'm not going to miss something that God has for me, I can live in a state of abundance and trust and this confidence even when I don't see it in my life, even when I don't see the results, see the achievements, see the fruit that I want. And keep in mind, abundance is not just materials. Abundance is presence, it's love, it's fulfillment, it's purpose. Abundance is having more than you need. And that can be so much more than materials. So don't hear me the wrong way. The scarcity to abundance is kind of like that even if mentality. You know, even if I mess up, I take the wrong turn, that business fails, even if, I know I'm going to be okay because I know God is with me. I know God is for me. I know that no matter what, all things are working together for my good. And that's the truth that I live on and I bank on. So even when it doesn't seem like it, I remember when I, in terms of bills and money coming in, money going out, you know, these months didn't look good in the red here. I don't know if we can do this for longer than a couple more months, like those types of scenarios. You know, when I have people in my life close to me, they're like, I'm not sure if you're going to make this happen. Like, you know, so, like it's not looking good, Brian. Like those sort of moments when you're about to quit or when you're about to give up because you're so discouraged on what it looks like, keep in mind this shift. Abundance is our birthright. Abundance, having more than enough, is our natural state of being. So I think that's really important. That's faith. That's knowing that even if it's going to be okay, knowing that it's all good. And at the end of the day, again, abundance is life, energy, purpose, fulfillment, happiness, peace. Those are the real fruits of abundance. Moving on, number three, as we continue going. Number three is words. They have to do with our words, self-limiting words to life-giving words. I love the truth in scripture where it's like the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And anytime there's a Spirit of God or the presence of God or God in general, it's always bringing life. Like life is always brought to the situation. So God brings life, and the enemy or the devil, for example, let's just say, brings death, right? God always brings life. God always brings abundance. God always brings union, right? God unites, the enemy divides. So for us, we're co-creators with God. He gave us so much power in the words we get to use. So I think that's really important. So many times in my life, I look back and I would speak things over my life, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that severely limited my ability, right? An example is like, I always struggle with blank. If I keep saying that over time, what do you think I'm going to struggle with? 100%, right? I'll never achieve blank because of blank. That's him, that's not me. Like, those examples are great. That's very practical. But even like the simple things, my wife gives me so much crap for this. Not as much because I think she thinks it's funny now and possibly true. But I'm like, I can't remember the last time I get sick. Like, I don't remember the last time I got sick. And she's like, babe, you were just sick like a month ago. But I don't speak the word over my life. And that sounds kind of crazy, maybe kind of cuckoo, but I believe life and death are in the power of the tongue. Every time we speak, we're either bringing life or we're bringing limitation. Life or death, limitation or expansion. So I choose to use expansive words, you know, words like abundance, words like possibilities, words that are always framing things in the positive. Does that make sense? So I could say, yeah, I just have ADD, I can't focus. Or I could say, I'm always thinking of new ideas. I get excited about a lot of things, and I'm getting better at focusing on singular things at one time. Focusing where I am, you know, focusing on the one thing in the moment. trying to say that correctly, but I think that's the biggest thing. Be very aware of using ultimative words, ultimate words like never, always, never. Those are very powerful. I corrected a buddy of mine at Bible study 2 weeks ago, lovingly. I didn't say like, hey, you're wrong. I never do that. I said, hey man, you shared your wife basically said like, you always get angry at the kids. You always have a short fuse. And I was like, I bet you can improve as a dad, like 100%, just like I can. But be careful about agreeing with a certain phrase like that. I mean, she's essentially speaking this ultimatum, this ultimate reality over your life, like you always do blank, and it's in the negative framework. And I'm like, bro, that's just not true. I know who you are. I know what you're made of. I know who you are as a dad. Like, dude, you're amazing with them. Yeah, you don't, you're not perfect. And yeah, you make mistakes, but you are not that guy who always does blank, negative, right? So it hurts and it's harder when people closest to us use those words, but how often do we use it ourselves and agree with ourselves and agree with others when it's always negative or never in the negative light? So the goal is to always live from a place of love, always bring life to the situation through our words, and always see the best in people, situations, and circumstances. Number four, external validation to internal discovery. I wrote down, the goal is to work from a place of success, not for it, right? I'm working to improve myself, not prove myself to people or to myself or to, you know, the world. True success can only be lived from. It can't be achieved. It can't be, actualized. Success is being who you were created to be and becoming more of that person. You know, it's an approach to life. Success is a lot more about how you are living, how you're approaching life, how you're approaching the quote unquote pursuit of success, than it is about like achieving or reaching success, right? You can be successful exactly where you are, broke as a joke, and you got a million things going on in your life that you could change and wish you can change. You could be successful if you just believe the truth about who you are, focused on the good, and took action from a place of already being enough. And I'll leave it at that. Everything you need is already within you. God planted a seed, a divine spark, a seed of potential DNA that you don't need to go to the store and get more you. I don't need to go to the store to get more Brian 2.0 or whatever. I just need to let the potential, the God-given potential unfold. So it's very important to remember that. Internal discovery, discovering who you truly are is the goal, right? So I believe your true identity cannot be achieved. It can only be discovered. And that's beautiful. Moving on, number five, control to surrender. One of my favorite quotes from a Christian mystic would be that the tighter you squeeze in life, the less you have. The tighter you squeeze, the less you have. So the goal, therefore, it stands to reason that the goal is to let go. The goal is to release always. The spiritual life, the Christian life, the life of purpose, the journey of faith is an unfolding. It's a letting go. It's a release and surrender to all that is, to all that God is, love, purpose, faith. Like it's a letting go of. There's so much freedom there. There's no freedom in controlling, you know, controlling the outcome. My best example of this is NICU with our first baby. Like I was in a place with my baby hooked up to monitors, thinking this could be her last breath, or, you know, what's gonna happen? I'm not sure. Is everything gonna be okay? I can't do anything to help this situation and my baby girl, who I love with every ounce of fiber in my body. All I could do was release, surrender, and say, God, I need you. Jesus, we need you. And that's it. And that is the best moment of clarity for me, because it was just so powerful to let go of everything and say, God, if you, like, I need you, we need you, be with us and give us your presence, your peace. And what do you know? I feel like whenever you get to that situation, you find it. When you ask for that peace, when you ask for that presence, and you are at rock bottom, or you're at the state of surrender, you're at the state of full release, full surrender, that's where you see God. You see God in the fire. You experience God in the fire. You feel God in the valleys. And so the goal would be to get to that place of surrender without having to go through the fire. Second to last one, outside to in, second to last one, number six, is outside in to inside out living. My friend, John Gordon, and I call him friend because we met and we chatted, and he's a legend. He's obviously doing crazy big things, but I do believe he'll be on the podcast one day. Met him at a John Maxwell high capacity leadership conference, and he's got this chapter in his book, The One Truth, called Inside Out Living. And basically it's this idea that situations do not make you. They just reveal you. They reveal you to yourself. You know, situations do not make the man. They reveal the man to himself, which is why his example in the book is like, it's not the traffic. You know, we often think it's the traffic that sucks, which is why I'm pissed off. But really, it's actually myself that's unaligned or aggravated, frustrated or not, addressing something that needs to be addressed, or living in the past, or you name it, that the traffic is just the trigger to show me that misalignment, show me that internal frustration, show me that lack of self-awareness, and I blame the traffic. So the whole idea is like, no, it's inside out. Don't live outside in. Don't live, hey, this person said that to me, therefore I am, or because I haven't achieved that, I'm unsuccessful. No. Live inside out. Live focused on your internal state, than the outernal or the outernal, external, outside circumstances. Know who you are and experience peace on the inside, and you'll see more peace on the outside. Right? Don't let the outside energy change your internal energy. Don't let their energy change your energy. If you walk into a room and it's negative, you can obviously change and reflect that negativity back to them, or you can be the activator in that situation. You can walk into a negative room and be so positive internally that you change the climate of the room. That's the truth. We have that power as human beings. We have that capability. So I think that's really important, to live inside out. Remember who you are. Remember that your internal state is way more important than the external situations. And last but not least is the most powerful, in my opinion. It's probably the most philosophical and less practical, but I'll try to land the plane practically speaking, because it's the shift from separateness to oneness. Separateness to oneness, because everything is connected at the end of the day. Any separateness is an illusion. You know, that's where a lot of our suffering comes from, is we believe that we're separate. And if we're talking about it in like Christian terms, I believe the old man, the old self, is the separate self. It's the self that chooses to try, keyword, to live in a false reality of being separate from God. When the truest reality is that, no, we're not separate. We are in God and God is in us. You know, Jesus prayed and talks about that they, meaning you and me, may be one, even as I am one, me and you and me. Like the Father and I are one, Jesus kept saying. You know, there's this union, this intimate oneness, this connectedness that like, we don't know where the Father is, like where he's, like where does the Son start and where does the Father end? Like how, like what does that even mean? What does it look like? I don't know fully, right? It's a mystery. But the point is, oneness is what we were made for. It's ultimate reality, oneness with God, oneness with ourselves, oneness with others. So the kind of the way to put that into practical terms is, for me, when I stop seeing my neighbor as a stranger or someone other than myself, and I started treating neighbors or strangers as my friend, as my brother, as myself, the world became a much more beautiful place. And it's not to say that there's no evil out there. Like there's definitely like violence, murder, all these different things. But the point is, when we mistreat a stranger, we're mistreating ourselves. When we love a stranger, we're loving ourselves, right? That's why Jesus said, love your enemies, because he knew the greatest enemy of all is within. You know, he said, love your neighbors, because when you love your neighbor, you love yourself. You know, it's like, it's just crazy. It's beautiful. And the practical point is, you know, what's helped me is this. It's a beautiful, it's a really powerful example of how to treat people the way God would treat them. And it's like this. It's basically to remember that every single human being you see, there's a piece of God in that person, a divine spark. And that's who you talk to. So whenever you meet a stranger, you look at them as if you are looking into the eyes of an eternal soul, because that's what you're doing. And this person is loved, they're known, they're never alone. They're part of this great, mysterious, beautiful story of history of the universe. And you get to speak to this eternal being in this time-space continuum, and you get to focus on the good. You get to, you know, focus on, wow, this person's got so much to teach me. I can learn so much from them. I can get to know them. I can let them be seen. I can let them see me. And so you can talk to that piece of God in that person. And when you do that, you'll find there's a lot of good to focus on. But make sure they see it in you first. Make sure they see the God in you first. So that's the whole goal is, you know, how do I experience oneness? Well, start seeing everything as one. Start seeing everything as it is. I love the quote, we're like islands on the sea, islands at sea, on the surface separate, but in the deep connected. You go far enough below the surface and every island is connected. Same thing with trees. It's a beautiful metaphor. And so as within, so without, right? My wife and I, things changed for me drastically for the better in my marriage when I stopped seeing her as my other half, right? Or stopped seeing her as, you know, someone I just do life with. No, she and I are one. We're one. So her loss is my loss. I used to try to win arguments with her. I used to be mad that I couldn't win arguments with her. I'm like, when's the last time you actually apologized and said you were wrong? And then, you know what I'm saying? But then I realized, like, oh, that's silly. Like, I'm in refusing to give love and grace to my wife, I'm refusing to give love and grace to myself, right? In mistreating my wife, I am mistreating myself. And so it's not about loving yourself or, like, you know, giving grace to yourself as much as it is just knowing she is one with me. Like, she is not this other person. We are one. So what affects me affects her. What affects her affects me. And so when you realize that everything is more connected than you can imagine, you start being very careful about how you think, what you say, what you choose to believe about other people, about the world, and about your situation. So hope that was helpful. It was a longer video, longer podcast, but I wanted to get through those 7 mindset shifts that have changed my life for the best. Like, subscribe the video. If you're on YouTube, podcasts, send it with a friend. Send it to a friend. I really appreciate the share and the love. You guys are awesome and really appreciate you for listening, your time and energy. I hope these planted seeds and they are just watered with consistency, and it helps you step into your full, powerful, beyond imagination, God-given potential. All right. Love you. Keep becoming more you. See you next time. Peace.